listening to Setting History Straight with Linda Watson.
And welcome to our program. And we have Dawn with us today. Dawn has been on before. She did a teaching on healing.
Well, hello, everyone. And hello, Linda. Everything is wonderful today. We're finally getting some sunshine where I'm at, which is nice because we've had a 3-day snowstorm. So we're enjoying the sun coming through the window.
We were just talking before we got on the air, and I don't see snow very often. So it's actually a nice little refreshing break, I'm sure, for you to have a little snow. I live so far down on the coast that I rarely see it, maybe once every 10 years. So let's go ahead and get started. We want to talk about the Four Horsemen today. Many, many people have so many theories about it. And I think the Bible does do some interpretation on its own. And that's one of the things we want to do today is take a look at it. And we're going to take a look at all four horsemen. And we also want to talk about, are the four seals that's talked about, the first four seals, are they open? And so that should be an interesting question for us to get started with. So one of the things I want to just mention is that the four horsemen of the apocalypse are works of this world, and they're, you know, it's not something the Messiah is doing. He's allowing it to be done, if that makes sense to you. He's allowing this to be done. And there's going to be four horsemen that appear. And they have riders. Actually, there's horses, yes, they're different colors, and they have riders. Now, I want to just make a comment before we start. And Satan, he's really called the God of this world in Scripture. And you remember the story about when the Messiah was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, right? That he went up on this mountain, and it was Hasatan that told the Messiah, all that you see here, I'll give you. Because he is really, truly the God of this world. We're told that. But there's one thing to be the God of this world, and there's one thing to have everybody under total control. And that, I believe, that is his goal and his mission, is to have everybody under his total control. And that would mean four things, Dawn. That would mean he would have to control the religion. He would have to have control over the religion. He would have to have control over all the governments, which would mean that he would have his own government that he would push in. That we keep hearing people talk about a one-world government. Well, that's actually talked about in Scripture, okay, that there's going to be a one-world government. Let's just take a second, Dawn, and I'm going to read a verse in Revelations. I think it's Revelation 13. And it says in Revelation 13, verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given to him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. So that means he's going to be in total control, which he's never had before. He's never been in total control, because it says that the believers, right? I'll read that again. He will make war with the saints and overcome them. They will go under his control. So from this verse, there's going to come a government that is a one world, and that is backed up by Scripture, okay? So that's not a conspiracy. And so many conspiracies out there, Dawn, that it's caused people just to not even want to study anything about the end time. Is that correct? I can't say that I blame them.
I agree. I think there's so many times that people have come up with, this is the end, this year is the end, that's the end, this is the Antichrist, that's the Antichrist, that people don't pay attention anymore. And it's sad, because we are told to watch and not be caught unaware. So we're supposed to keep watching, but we're supposed to watch with discernment and with our Bibles in our hands.
Yes. So that's the critical piece right there. And people are just all over the place with the conspiracies, but it definitely does tell you there's going to be a one world government coming. And that verse nails it right there, because he says he's going to take control over all nations, all kindreds, all tongues, and the believers. It says the saints. So he's going to take control. So he's going to have a government that he pushes in that is actually a one world government. So that is not something that's a conspiracy. That is an actual fact. Okay. Now, the other two things that he has to take control over, we said religion is one, the government, a one world government is two. The third piece would have to be the economics. He would have to take control over the economics, the world economics, and he would have to take control over the environment. I believe that is his goal, is to take over those four items. And so I think we can prove and make a case that that's what these four horsemen are. Now, let's go ahead and start reading some of this, Dawn. It's covered in Revelation 6. All right, so let's go to Revelation 6. I'll just take them one at a time. And you have a historical perspective on this. Is that correct? Because there's pieces of that, obviously, that you can see. Is that not correct? I mean, I think that you're right on that. All right, I'll start in chapter 6 of Revelation. And it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard it as the noise of thunder, one of four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown, and was given him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." Now, most people look at this and they say that's the Antichrist, and that's not an argument at all, because the Antichrist is somebody, obviously, that comes teaching the opposite of the Messiah, right? And so I believe that the book of Matthew in chapter 24 actually reveals what this is.
I'm totally in agreement with in Matthew 24, where the verse 4 through 9, and I believe that's his synopsis, Yeshua's synopsis of the first five seals, those verses, bam, 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 right in a row.
Yes, absolutely. Let's go back to Matthew 24 here. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. That's Matthew 24, verse 1. And his disciples came with him to show him the building of the temple. And he said unto them, "See you all these things? Verily I say unto you, there should not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And he sat down on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us what these shall be, and what shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world." Now that word "world" there is age, which that's another whole discussion we can get into, because he's not coming to end the world. He's coming to end the age. And so the age that we're in is the age we call the age of the fishers of men. And that started back at the time of the Messiah. When he died, that ended an age. Spring equinox shows up in Pisces, and that has to do with fish. And so that's that association that we were told that our job was to go into all the world and teach all nations these things, right? And he said, the end won't come until you finished spreading the gospel to everyone. So that tells you that age that is ending is the age for the people who are doing the job of spreading the gospel, okay? So that's what that basically means. So he's ending the age and not the world. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." So the very first thing he's telling them is watch that you don't get deceived. Everybody thinks of deception in terms of the modern religions today, but they don't see also that there's a lot of deception going on among the brethren. And some are teaching only partial truth. And that's the same thing as deception. And that they're not all doing it on purpose. They're doing it out of ignorance. They're bringing the teachings that they had learned from their former churches into this walk. And so it's a process of cleaning yourself up. The whole thing is a process. That's why there's been a lot of confusion in some of the groups and churches, because people are falling out on different pages, because they're bringing in the teachings that they had from previous churches. And so it takes a while to cleanse this out of the body. Does everybody see that? I hope they see that, because that's exactly what he's talking about here. It's not just associated with the organized religions that he's talking about, that he's talking about them too. But he said there's also deception among the brethren. And if you read on, you can see that pretty clearly. He says, "For many shall come in my name." See, my name means Yeshua. So many would come in the name of Yeshua and say, "I'm the Christ," and has deceived many. So there's going to be deception among the believers, and that's what many people don't get and don't understand. So this religious deception is going to go on. And we know that in this country we have religious freedom, but that's not been to our benefit in the last 100 years. Has it, Dawn?
No, it hasn't.
No, because what has happened with religious freedom is they use that as a license to bring in other gods. That's not something that the Father had wanted us. You know, he didn't want you worshiping Buddha, which is a different god, and worship Islam, which is Allah. He did not want you doing that. That's the very first commandment, is it not, that you don't bring in other gods? And so if you look in this country and many other Christian nations, you have Buddhist temples and mosques everywhere.
The one good thing about the religious freedom, though, is it got us out from under the Catholic Church having to do it their way and saying that they are, you know, the only ones that can forgive you and all of that such thing. So religious freedom, as far as the freedom to worship the God of the Bible, according to the Bible and not man-made sanctions, is the good part of religious freedom. But then there's the flip side that you've been talking about as well, that is not good.
Yes, absolutely. If we hadn't had religious freedom from the very beginning in this country, we would have still have one church, one universal church, and which is what they struggled through in the Middle Ages, you know, one universal church. But so what we're seeing happen here is that this is talking about false prophets coming in, and then it tells you that these people shall deceive many. Okay, so there's going to be false teachers. And if I turn on the internet, I see it all the time. People send me videos and I can watch them maybe 5 minutes before I have to turn them off. And so, so many people are teaching so much false information and they're pulling it out of their hats. They're just pulling it out of their hats. So does that have anything to do with that very first seal, which it says, I saw a white horse and he that sat on him had a bow. And the crown was given him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. You know, is the Messiah trying to give you a clue that this is what this first seal is religious deception, and that it would eventually lead to a system that we refer to as the system of the Antichrist, which is talked about in Scripture, and that Antichrist would be a one world philosophy, which is godless. And that's really interesting because it's very interesting to see that.
And so when he opens the first seal, I believe that is when the Holy Spirit is sent on the white horse. And right here it says conquering and to conquer. He went out conquering and to conquer. That word is in the Greek, it's G5115 in the Strong's. And the base of that word comes from G5115. 88 to produce from seed as a mother, plant, earth, etc. And so it's not necessarily a bow. As a matter of fact, the Strong says implies fabric. And it's the only place where this G5115 is translated as conquer. Everywhere else it is overcome. And true, it is translated as overcome when the Antichrist overcomes the saints. That's the same word there. But it's also the same word when Yeshua said, I have overcome the world. And when he tells us to overcome, it's the same word. So the Holy Spirit has been sent out to help us to overcome. But then the false white horse is also out there, the false Messiah, trying to overcome the saints. So if you will, it's a tug of war there with the false Messiah and the true Holy Spirit that have been sent out.
Yes, absolutely. Great. Interesting on the Greek words there. Now, this vile man that's talked about in Scripture, and he's called this vile man, and he's talked about in 2 Thessalonians. Let's just go there real quickly so we can just mention that. All right, so it's going to be 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It said, no man deceive you. Here we go. So he's again talking about the same deception that's going on, and he's linking more of this. This is another clue that this is what it's talking about, a person who is the Antichrist. And it says, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Well, we have talked about that on this program, that I believe the falling away is well underway, because we've had Hollywood on one side teaching godless information and trying to destroy Christianity. And then you've had the liberal media doing the same thing. So you've had people in this country that are a godless mindset teaching poison against the Christians and the churches. So that's really easy to see that falling away has already occurred. And you know that in the last 15 years, over 75% of people who were attending church have stopped attending. And so we are down in this country to less than 14% of the people attending church. In 1960, that was 60% of the people attended church. In other words, the majority of the people went to church by 1960. In this short time frame, you have now gotten down to only 14% of the people attending church. And we have over 100 churches a week shutting down and closing. They can't keep their doors open. And so that's actually fulfilling that prophecy that's in Ezekiel that talks about, I will destroy your eminent place and your high places on every street. So that's what that's talking about. And so going on, and the man of sin shall be revealed and the son of perdition. Now, who opposed and exalts himself above all that is called God, that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitting in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Okay, so this man, he's going to set himself up almost to the point to being worshipped. And he's basically teaching the opposite. And it says he wears down the saints, which tells you when he wears down the saints that he's opposed to the saints. And when you go back and read the book of Daniel, it talks about this vile man several places. And it says that he is against the covenant. Well, the covenant is the covenant that we know of in scripture in Exodus 20 through chapter 24, right? That is the laws of Yahweh, that the Israelites signed off on the covenant. They would be keepers of this covenant. And it's really keeping the laws of God. And that's what that covenant is. Well, he comes against that covenant. So that's what we're talking about here. When it talks about deception, they're telling you there's going to be somebody that comes and he's going to lead this godless movement. And you already see it rising in this country. Dawn?
Yes.
You know, you can see this godless movement rising in this country, but just take a look at what's going on in our government with pushing in the killing of babies after they're born. I mean, that's this godless movement that's coming into this country. It's come gradual, hasn't it? But it's not just in this country, it's worldwide. So you have this movement that's going on that you can see, and they want to call it the liberal movement, right? Or progressive movement. And it's attacking the conservative values in this country and the conservative people in this country. So I just think that's interesting because that's what this guy is about. And it actually tells you in the book of Isaiah that he's a liberal.
I was listening to all that you were saying. I did, but yeah, I was agreeing with everything you said. It's certainly coming quicker and quicker as we go, though.
Yes. All right. So if you look at Isaiah chapter 32, and it says, verse 5, and the vile person shall no more be called liberal. So in other words, he's going to be taken down. This is what this verse is saying, that he's going to be taken down and he's no more going to be liberal, because, you know, that's what it's talking about. Now, it says he will no more be liberal. Well, that means he is liberal. So I think it's interesting that they're using the word, the actual word liberal there. I just think it's very interesting. It's one that they're using the word liberal there. And so many, many people think that there's a temple going to be built in Jerusalem, and that's possible. Nobody's going to deny that that's not possible. But it tells you who goes and sits in the holy place. That word temple there should be rendered holy place. So who goes and sits in the holy place? It's this man that goes and sits in the holy place. And you're told that in Matthew 24, and you're told this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, that he's the one that goes and sits in the temple or the holy place. So he's that vile man, and he is the abomination of desolation. And so that's really easy to see because he's the thing that goes and sits in the holy place. So, I mean, that's really interesting. And we don't know if there's going to be a temple built or not. That's all and well. That could happen. But the real abomination is this man. He is called that vile man. Okay, so let's get back to the very first system that Satan has to take down. If he's going to control this world, is the religion. He has to dominate and control the religion. And that just doesn't necessarily mean religion, but he's got to influence the moral values in this country and many other countries in the world. He's got to influence them to the point that they see things not like what scripture says.
Completely agree. That's what his purpose is and what his goal is.
We're not saying that he's not taking over the churches. He's going to be taken over and teaching his own philosophy. And that philosophy is godless. I mean, no God. You pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Live your life the way you want to live it. You don't have a God that you have to answer to. There's no Bible. And he doesn't have to come out and say it. He just teaches the principles. You know, you can see the principles being taught. He doesn't have to come out and say it because he's teaching principles that are contrary to the laws of God. Okay, so there's going to be a liberal, and I'm going to call it a liberal mindset that is pushed in on people. And that liberal mindset is a godless mindset. You know, we're not interested in religion. We don't want to see things through those value system. You see that the Judeo-Christian values are being put on the shelf now. Our laws in this land were based on those Christian values at one point. So I think we've labored that quite a bit. Those seals have been opened to a certain extent. And now, you know, we're just kind of moving through them, aren't we? And so all of those seals are basically, I believe, I agree with you. I believe all these seals are open.
Yes, I think so. I truly think so. And like Yeshua said, the birth pains just keeps getting stronger and stronger and closer together. And so I think these seals or these riders have been riding throughout history. And as we get closer to the end of this age, these riders come with more frequency and more intensity. And so I think they're all part of the birth pangs that Yeshua was talking about.
Right. So now let's get to the next seal, and that is the second seal. And I'm going to read chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6, verse 3. And when he opened the second seal, I saw the second beast say, "Come and see." And there was another horse that was red and had power and was given to him. And he sat and to take peace from the earth, that they shall kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Well, that's definitely talking about a war here. And it's definitely mentioning a war here. But if you go back and you look at, again, what does Satan have to control? He wants worldwide control. So what does he have to control to be able to accomplish his goal? And one is he needs a worldwide government. Okay. He needs a government that he is in complete control over. Now, it's not unusual to think, and I want to make this comment, that this vile man is either under Satan's control or he is Satan in the flesh. So, I mean, that's very much possible. Okay. And so this government that he's pushing in is a red government. And so this is a red horse. And so the red government that we know of is communism. And our form of communism today is socialism. Socialism and communism, there's not a lot of difference in it right now. You know, so he's going to push in a government where he has total control. And in order to do that, he's got to shut down all the republics. You know, a republic government, which is what we have, right? It is a government that you send representatives to represent you. Well, that has to be taken down. And it talks about how he does this with flattery. It's interesting because no one sees this in terms of a government. Nobody sees this as in terms of a government. They see it in terms of a war coming. But the war is the end result. It's the method for pushing in his government. And so that's the real goal here. Now, we have a democratic government in this country, and many other countries have democratic governments. But this government that he's pushing in is a socialist, communist government, which communism has always been represented with the color of red. It's a bigger picture than what you've been taught in the churches about the four horsemen. It's a bigger picture because we're really telling you that the second horse, in my opinion, is socialism. And socialism and communism, there's not much difference in the two. But socialism is what you're seeing being pushed in this country. And you're seeing it already taking hold in Europe and many of the other Christian nations in the world. And socialism is on the rise, and that's what they're trying to push in. And Satan, he's able to do that. He will have his minions at the top. That's the goal. And so you're talking about people taking control over your property, taking control over your land, your homes, and you are working for the system, and they'll give everybody the same set pay. And that's their goal. And you can see socialism being pushed in this country. That's not hard to see.
We will return to Setting History Straight after this commercial break.
We'll be right back.
Where are the Israelites today? Are they still alive? On Setting History Straight, we answer that question and many other questions about biblical history. For more information about this broadcast, please visit our website at www.12tribehistory.com. That is the number 12tribehistory.com, or email us at lwatson44@cox.net with any questions or comments. We now return to Setting History Straight with Linda Watson.
So absolutely. So how is this being revealed to us? It's being revealed to us through the words of the Messiah, I believe, in Matthew 24. And verse 6 says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Well, the wars that they're talking about probably is World War I and World War II. And rumors of wars, they've been talking about a possibility of World War III for a long time. So he says there's going to be wars, there's going to be rumors of wars. And so that's going to be the outcome of the second seal. So it's telling you that the wars and the rumors of wars, kingdom will rise against kingdom, it says. And it says that for a nation shall rise against a nation and a kingdom against a kingdom. But it's telling you here that the outcome of that seal is a huge war. Okay, that's what it's telling you in Matthew 24. And that there's been two huge wars before that. And when people were prophets and they lived at the time of World War I and World War II, they thought the world was coming to an end. They looked at those wars and saw how many people were dying. You had 20 million people die. They thought, oh my goodness, this is the book of Revelations being fulfilled. And if I'd been living during that time, I would have probably thought the same thing too. But there's another war that he says is coming. It's going to produce a one world government. Okay. Also, it tells you that this is a red horse. There's a bigger piece to this. The whole point of these wars is to push things down to a one world ruling government that Satan rules over, that Hasatan rules over. And that one world government is going to be red, which is communism, socialism. And you can see the socialism rising now. This is not difficult to see. And so that's what this is all about. It's a higher level. What we're doing is we're covering this at a much higher level, because there's four things, like we mentioned before, that Satan must do. He has to establish a world religion, and that's going to be his belief system. He's going to push in his belief system. He's got to control the government. Revelation 13, verse 6 and 7, that's what he's going to be doing. He's going to take control over the saints and all the nations and kindreds and tongues. So he's pushing in a government that he has control over. And that hasn't happened yet. He has control over the governments. I don't deny that. He hasn't ushered in one government that's going to be a one world ruling government that he's going to control everybody. That's what that second seal, I think, is telling you. And that government is going to be socialism. And that's really easy to see. Let's go on to verse number 5, seal number 3. Do you want to read that seal for us?
Sure. "And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, 'Come and see.' And I looked and saw a black horse, and he who sat on it holding a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A measure of wheat for a denarius, and 3 measures of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.'"
Okay, so many people think of that as famine, and that's going to be the outgrowth. The actual end result of this is going to be a famine. Okay, and so let's go back to Matthew 24, and we pick up in verse 7. "And for a nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." We read that already, and that's in relationship to the second seal, right? And it says, "And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places." But he's talking about famines and pestilence, okay? So famine means no water, and pestilence means disease and epidemics. That's normally what it means. So a bigger picture on this, it's an economic system. If he controls the economics in this world, which that is coming to a head, that there's going to be a one system that he is in control over the money, but he's going to push down, I believe, a system that is electronic and a wireless. He may just set up a system that has no paper money. It has no actual currency that you can hold in your hands, that all money is transferred through wireless control. And that is what you see coming, because all your banking now is done wireless. All money transfers are wireless. All transactions that you have through credit cards are done wireless, correct? And so this is a clue here, is that it says Hasatan has power over the air. Well, the wireless economic system that I believe is being pushed in, that system is wireless and it's in the air. And so that's what he's referencing here. It's a system that is wireless. He goes on and explains a little further. So can you read a little bit further in verse 6?
Verse 6, a measure of wheat for a denarius and 3 measures of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.
Okay, good. So what he's basically saying, that a denarius was their daily wage back at the time of the Messiah. That was called a denarius, and they would receive a daily wage. But today, we receive, most people get paid every 2 weeks if you have a normal job. So that denarius that we have today is a bi-monthly wage. And he's telling you, you're barely going to have enough to get by on and get your necessities in that daily wage that you're talking about here, that bi-monthly wage, you'll barely have enough to get by on. That's because the taxes are going to be so incredibly high, which they are, and the inflation rate. Those two things are going to drive this seal to fulfillment. Because of the tax structure in this country, and it's going to get worse, okay, they're going to tax you more than, they have plans to tax you more than what you're being taxed now, right? Keeps the cost of everything keeps going up, that he's telling you that you'll barely make enough to get by. And that's what that verse is actually saying. And that has to do with the economic system. And the outgrowth of that, the end result of that, will wind up being famine and pestilence, because people, he's talking about here that black horse is your economy, and it's your economy is going to go down. And that could also mean that the stock market goes down. And that would send, I'm telling you, unbelievable repercussions through this country if that happened, not just this country, but the whole world. And so that may be indicating that the economic system as we know it is coming down, that we see. Yes, and that's really easy to see. And so, like I said, these seals, I think, have been open for a long time. And so now we come to the fourth seal, and I'm going to read this one, and that's in Revelation 6, verse 7. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the four beasts say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And that pale horse is a misnomer, right? Because that really, that horse is green. It says chloros there, right? So it's a green horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him. And the power was given over the fourth of the earth. Well, the fourth of the earth is the land. Because remember, 3/4 of the world is water. So he's going to be given control over the land. And that's what it's telling you here. So we're going to jump first and let you explain what you feel. That fourth seal being a green horse, I think, has some significance. Because I think that has to do with all this climate change, all this new Green Deal that's they're trying desperately to push in, because the last thing that Satan has to control is the environment. He's got to control the environment. And you've seen these patterns continue to repeat, but they're escalating now. And so these things have all been happening throughout history, yes, but they're going to escalate toward the end. That's what this whole thing is about, is the escalation of all of these.
Yes, I was just agreeing. Yeah, that's why Yeshua called them the birth pains, because they keep escalating throughout history the closer we get.
The liberals, progressive movement that's going on in this country has some unbelievable ideas about the form of government they're trying to push in, and the form of government they're trying to push in. Hopefully they want to do it worldwide. And it has to do with the carbon footprint. that they want to eliminate cars and trains, and they're going to shut down the refineries and the petroleum, and that's their gold. I mean, that is their gold, and that's very interesting that that horse is green, because that has to do with the Green Deal, whatever that comes out to be. Satan is going to be in control over it. And so that's the four pieces that he has to control. He has to control the government. He's got to control religion or your moral values, which he's done a real good job with that. Now, the people in this country are truly educated to his system. And then he has to control the economics, and he has to control the environment. Now, that these things have continually gone through history, we can see how the plagues and they've had famine and they've had, you know, wars and they've had, you know, religious persecution. All of that has been going on continuously, and deception, right? Those have been constantly going through, especially since the time of the Messiah. You want to comment on this? So interested in hearing what you have to say on what you think from what your perspective is on the four horsemen.
Well, I would love to. And I think this is great, Linda, because you are applying these seals to what is going on right now. And I think this is the next wave of the seals, probably the last wave of the seals before the end. Been studying this for quite a while, and I had different theories over the years of the horsemen. But when you said, do you suppose that the seals have already been opened? I believe that they have already been opened, and the horsemen have been riding ever since Yeshua showed up in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And I also believe that the horsemen correspond with the birth pains in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 9. And so my perspective is probably entirely different, but I think that there is more than one way, just like everything in the scripture. I believe that there is more than just one fulfillment and one perspective to them. And I'm looking at the seals for the last 2,000 years. And so I think our messages are very complementary to each other. But the first seal, that first time, as soon as Yeshua was up into heaven, was Pentecost, and that was 33 AD. Then we had the second seal, Rome, Britain, the Rome-Parthian War, and Jerusalem in the mid to late first century. And then we had the third seal was Claudius Caesar's famine in 40 to 50 AD. And that's we can kind of see that in scripture where they were collecting money. Paul was collecting money for the saints at Jerusalem. And from what I read, a lot of people think that had to do with this Claudius Caesar famine of 40 to 50 AD. So the fourth seal, like you said, I believe is death, and I believe it is death by plagues is where the way that the fourth rider has shown himself, that the fourth seal has shown himself throughout history. The fourth seal, after Claudius Caesar's famine, would have been about 165 to 180 AD, and there was something called the Antonine Plague. And it was over West Asia and Northern Africa. 30% of the population died. And so you're talking over a fourth of that population died. And so it could be more localized throughout history. And then as you're speaking of, more worldwide at the end. And so all of these horses and these riders are going out locally in parts of the earth throughout history. And I think they're going to culminate in yours being worldwide toward the end. But anyway, so that would have been 165 to 180 AD. Then we go to the Middle Ages, the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit was the first seal in the early 1300s. Then we had the second seal of the Hundred Year War in 1337. And then we had the third seal of famine, which was the great European famine in 1314 to 1317. And then the Middle Ages, after the Great European Famine of the Third Seal, 1314, 1317, there was the Black Death in 1347 through 1353, which most of Europe died. I mean, well over a fourth, I believe. And then, again, the First Seal, we had the Great Outpouring in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Then the Second Seal, we had World War I and World War II, and then in the midst of World War I and World War II, we had the third seal, which was the Great Depression, and that was definitely a famine. You had the food lines and the food rationing and that kind of thing. And it didn't only affect us here in the United States. It was pretty much worldwide. And then after the third seal of the Great Depression, well, in the Great Depression, these writers, I think, are still all writing at the same time. There's kind of a pattern. But anyway, we had the 1918-1920 Spanish flu. So that was still in the early 1900s. And that was a huge killer of people. So these plagues seem to follow the war. So we seem to have the great outpouring. Then we seem to have wars. Then we have famine. And then we have pestilence throughout history. And so that's where I think the fourth seals were. Yes. So those are the seals, again, repeating themselves throughout history.
Yes.
The fourth writer, I should say.
I see those, that these things have continually gone through history. We can see how the plagues and they've had famine and they've had, wars and they've had religious persecution. All of that has been going on continuously in deception, right? Those have been constantly going through, especially since the time of the Messiah. And so you bringing out that information is a very powerful thing. And you've seen these patterns continue to repeat, but they're escalating now. And so these things have all been happening throughout history, yes, but they're going to escalate toward the end. Now, I also think that the fifth seal has been opened. And the fifth seal says, "And I saw an altar of the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held. And they cried with a loud voice, say, how long, O Lord, holy and thou, dost thou judge and avenge the blood of them that dwell on the earth? And the white robes were given to every one of them. It was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, and to their fellow servants also and their brethren they should be killed as they were and should be fulfilled." I think that's real interesting because I think you can see right now that there is a huge discrimination against Christians in this country now. Christians are more discriminated against now than they've ever been in this country. It hasn't led in this country to actual martyrdom in most cases, right? But it has led there in other countries. It just hasn't come to this country. But it tells you that in several places that brother will pick up sword against brother. And that's also talked about in Ezekiel 38. That is the people who are godless against the people who are not. And so that's the fight that's going on in this country. People just don't see it. They keep calling it Democrat and Republican. It's bigger than Democrat and Republican because this liberal movement that you see going on in this country is a godless movement, and they want to stamp out any form of religious values. And that affects the average conservative person in this country. So,
oh, I agree. And again, I think the fifth seal, people, these martyrs that are under the altar are ones that have already been martyred at the time we get to this fifth seal, and they're asking how much longer, and he's saying, well, there's more to be martyred. And so these that are under the altar are possibly the martyrs throughout the Old Testament as well, and they're saying how longer, and he's saying wait a little while longer, and we have the next 2,000 years full of martyrs to do. And of course we know there have been thousands of martyrs throughout the last 2,000 years that have died for their faith and are currently dying for their faith even now in the Middle East and elsewhere. And then if you go back to Matthew 24 to verse 8, you can see a separation there that Yeshua does. He does the first four seals, and then he says in verse 8, and these are the beginning of birth pains. And like we were saying, they keep repeating throughout history. These writers keep writing, and it gets more and more extreme. And then verse 9, it says, then they shall deliver you up to affliction and kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And I believe that's an allusion to the fifth seal toward the end. And so this fifth seal being opened shows that we're getting really close to the sixth seal and the trumps. And so I think it's speaking about the rest of the martyrs that will be. Anyway, in Matthew 24:9, they shall deliver you up to affliction and kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many shall stumble, and they shall deliver up one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise up and lead many astray. And because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many shall become cold, but who shall have endured to the end shall be saved. And so I think the fifth seal is letting us know that we're leading up to the end, and there will be more martyrs until obviously the end gets here, but you can see the separation that Yeshua makes between the fourth and the fifth seal there.
Interesting when you says wax coat. When you look that up in the Greek, it tells you they go crazy, chaos. And so that it's really interesting that that's what we see going on today, because people keep scratching their heads and say, why are they doing some of the things they're doing? Why are they allowing babies to be killed after they're born? And so, yeah, people have gone mad. And so that's what it's really saying, that people have gone, they've lost their moral compass and they've gone mad. Now, Zechariah 1 talks about this, these same horsemen. We need to cover that briefly. And that's in Zechariah 1, I think it's in verse 7, it talks about it was in the 11th month and the 24th day. I think that's very interesting. The 11th month and 24th day would be the month of February. I don't know if you know that, but that's in the Hebrew calendar, that's where it would be, in the 24th day. So he's doing this prophecy about the same time we're doing this. I think that's interesting. And then it says in verse 8, and I saw by night, and behold, a man riding a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees. Now, the myrtle trees, the word myrtle is Hadassah. Hadassah was Esther, if you remember in Scripture, and she plays the role of the church. So she stood among the myrtle trees. So he's standing among the people in the church, okay? And he's telling them, behold, there will be a red horse, a speckled horse, and a white horse. And he said, oh, my Lord, what are these? And the angel that was talking with him said unto him, I will show thee what these are. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees, he's standing among the believers, okay? And answered and said, he's talking to the believers, and he's going to tell the believers who these horsemen are. And these are they that the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. So these, what he's telling you right here, are going to be a worldwide destruction. It's not isolated famine here, famine there, war here, war there. It's going to be a massive war on the worldwide scale. And that he's telling it, that it's going to, they're going to be walking to and fro through the earth. In other words, these things are going to be accomplished not just in America, not just in the Christian countries, but these horsemen are going to be riding through all nations. So nobody's off the hook here, are they?
No.
No, not at all. So that, I think that's interesting, because he goes on in verse 11, he stood and he said, he's answered in the angel and stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth stand still and is at rest. So it's waiting for these four horsemen, you know, to do their final ride. And they're standing still. And that's what's going on now, is that they're standing still waiting for these horsemen to do their final ride. And that's their final thing that they're going to accomplish. And just remember what we said, that these four horsemen have accomplished a lot of the things that many people have talked about, because it's easy to read and see what it's saying there. And Matthew 24 interprets that. But it's also the accomplishments that he has here are Satan's accomplishments that he has to do to rule this world. And we said, take control of the religion, take control over one world government, take control over all the governments, take control of the economic system, and take control over the environment. Actually see all of these things taking place as we are watching and seeing what's going on and right in front of our eyes. So with that, we're going to close, and we're going to say blessings to all and good night.
Shalom.